It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate, ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, a hump day. We're going to talk about these prison gangs that are here. Disney's looking for a new DEI director. The Harris campaign of nothing continues. All that, emails. We have Ryan Gerdusky coming up about a half hour from now. He's going to tell you, he's going to break something down. I thought it was really fascinating when I was reading what he wrote this morning. He's going to break down polling a little bit and why it's so skewed right now. It's skewed, and there's a reason. And you're going to have to wait for a half hour to hear that reason. So buckle up for that. All that is coming up this hour on the Jesse Kelly Show. I want to finish up what we were talking about last hour, at the end of last hour, briefly. I was talking about social shame, the social shame system, easy for me to say, social shame system, and how, honestly, you should be ashamed to vote Democrat. And I was talking more specifically about what they did at the border. Now, I didn't break down what's going on in Aurora, Colorado, and it's happening in other places, New York City, this is happening. You see, what they've done when they opened up the border on purpose, they allowed a country who's hostile to us, like Venezuela, to empty their prisons onto American soil. And this has been done before. You remember Fidel Castro did this with the Cubans back in the day. It wasn't just freedom-loving Cubans who came over. He emptied his prisons onto American soil. And what happens when that kind of thing happens is you can't send them back. That's a big part of it. Venezuela will not accept these people back. So they shipped them here on purpose. Democrats let them in on purpose. And they're here forever because Venezuela won't send them back. And I know what you're saying right now. Well, drop them out of a plane or something. I understand all that. But you and I both know that would never happen here in the United States of America. This is why you can't have anti-American communists running your country. And if you dig into what this gang, what these gangs are doing, they're simply operating the same way they operated in Venezuela. They come in, they use violence, and they attack everything and everyone, including the cops. And they're sophisticated. They know how to break into security systems. They know their way around things. These are born and bred criminals from a criminal society. They're really good at what they do. And I just wanted to emphasize again, before I move on to other things, Democrats let them in on purpose. Democrats got elected and opened up the border on purpose. And in many cases, they are flying people from Central and South America into the United States. Illegals. They're calling them refugees and they're importing people by the million. Oh, and did I mention the Biden administration is busy naturalizing citizens, new ones, by the million? This is all being done to bring about the collapse of America and to ensure Democrats remain in power forever. That's why this is being done. Evil people run this country. Evil people. And I would be remiss if I didn't remind everybody that James Lankford of Oklahoma, the Republican from a supposedly red state, tried to help them do it. Tried to help them keep the border open. James Lankford, Shirley, Oklahoma. We can primary this ginger menace next time he's up for re-election. Surely we can. Gosh. All right, I'm moving on. I'm going to get myself upset. So, you know, we've been talking about the Dome campaign as being about nothing, based on nothing. No interviews, no real policy positions, no positions at all on her page. Well, just to give you an idea of what kind of a fake campaign this is, it's honestly, it's a Hollywood movie production is what it is. There's an article here actually from Selena Zito. She's going to join us in the final hour of the show. But she's talking about one of Kamala Harris's campaign stops. Harris had a campaign stop at a private airport hangar, and they put pictures of it online. Who showed up? They grabbed local union members and bussed them to the event. Oh, I've got two more for you. It's wild what a campaign this is. They took a picture. There was a picture floating around on social media of Dome getting off of, I believe it was Air Force Two, whatever the vice president flies around, getting off of Air Force Two. You got a wide shot of Dome getting off Air Force Two, and there was this huge crowd there to greet her. It's in a picture. You can see it plain as day. There's a picture, except this is the era of internet sleuths, and people dug into it a little. You see there was a reflection off the plane. There was no crowd there. None. Zero. They photoshopped a large crowd in front of Dome's plane, and they forgot to photoshop the crowd onto the reflection of the plane, and they put the picture on the internet saying, "Look at the support for Dome!" Oh, and another thing, and this is a final thing, and I'll leave you with this, and we'll move away from Dome. I forget which diner, it's a Pittsburgh diner, I believe. Anyway, she had a campaign stop. They put pictures up of her greeting people in a diner. You know, that's standard politics, senators, House people running for president. You're always in a Waffle House or a diner, greeting normal people, pretending like you give a crap about them. It came out afterwards. They ran the diners out of the diner, out of the restaurant. They were banned from the restaurant. Why? Because they imported in actors and actresses. They imported in Dome's supporters after they shut the restaurant down to open customers to anyone. They imported their supporters to sit there and pretend like they're diners and talk to Dome on camera. These are things that have all happened in just the last week or two. The entire campaign is a Hollywood production. It's all fake. None of it's real. And it's just beyond belief to me that this woman could win. And we're going to ask, I mentioned that was Selena Zito's article. We're going to talk to her next hour. She's coming up about halfway through the next hour. We're going to talk to her about her path to victory, her popularity in these Rust Belt swing states. And I'm trying not to get too hopeful. You always want to have hope. I always want to have hope. I'm trying not to get too far ahead of myself here. I just find it very, very difficult to believe that a campaign like this and a candidate like this can win. There's no way this person can win, right?
What we need to do about demilitarizing our schools and taking police officers out of schools. We need to deal with the reality.
They want to take police officers out of schools? I'm curious the justification for that. Oh, maybe it's this. Maybe it's every time there's a mass shooting at a school, Democrats gun grab. In fact, the last big one we can remember, Republicans John Cornyn of Texas and Mitch McConnell. Remember the Uvalde shooting? Democrats started gun grabbing. John Cornyn of Texas and Mitch McConnell immediately started working with Democrats to pass a bill that restricted your gun rights. I'm going to play this for you again. And let me ask you a very simple question. Do Democrats want more school shootings?
What we need to do about demilitarizing our schools and taking police officers out of schools. We need to deal with the reality and speak the truth about the inequities around school discipline.
Take the police officers out of schools. How can you justify that any other way than you want kids to die? School shootings are very sadly part of the United States of America now. Ever since those scumbags in Columbine did it, now every mixed up kid who's been bullied and doesn't know how to punch someone in the nose, now he wants to get famous by massacring a bunch of kids. So this is sadly a reality for us. So you have to lock down schools, you have to have cops in schools, you have to have single entry points, you have to have, these things are necessary. Why do Democrats want to take the cops out of the school?
What we need to do about demilitarizing our schools and taking police officers out of schools.
Yeah, radical. Anyway, let's do some emails. Before we do emails, let's talk about radical. Abortion is always going to be an issue in campaigns. It always has, it always will. And obviously we want our politicians to be pro-life, of course. But the truth is, we have to change hearts. We have to change culture. We have to become a culture of life. And that's what preborn is about. It's about changing hearts and culture. Do you know that they give free ultrasounds to women who are about to abort their babies? And did you know if you can get a woman in for an ultrasound, she will choose life almost every time? She will change her mind and choose life, because once a mother hears the heartbeat of her baby inside of her, she becomes a mom. It's no longer a clump of cells. It can't be. It's a beating heart. She feels the need to care for it. Preborn's changing culture, changing hearts. Want to help them? It's all tax deductible. $28 buys an ultrasound, but give whatever you can. Preborn.com/Jesse. It's all tax deductible. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All 3 hours dedicated to you and your questions. Hey, Devil Dog, questions like this one. Seeing how it's the vice president's role to certify the election, do you think they will pull their own version of January 6th? How would that go down? No, I don't think they'll do that. But I do think, I think we all be naive to think that Democrats have pulled their last dirty move in this election cycle. Remember, these people are communists. They pull out all the stops. They're not like loser weenie Republicans who, well, wait till the next election. We don't want to be unpopular. They go all in. At all times. Remember what Jamie Raskin said? I can't get it out of my mind. Remember that audio we played for you 2-3 weeks ago? Jamie Raskin, not some no-namer. He's a very, very, very powerful a Democrat congressman. Remember when he was sitting there and he was talking about what happens if Trump wins? Well, he was talking about decertifying it, not certifying the election. In fact, he was being pretty matter-of-fact about the whole thing.
What can be put into the Constitution can slip away from you very quickly. And the greatest example going on right now before our very eyes is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're just disappearing with a magic wand, as if it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating. And so, you know, they want to kick it to Congress. So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody in civil war conditions, all because the 9 justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year, not that much work to do, a huge staff, great protection, simply do not want to do their job and interpret what the great 14th Amendment means.
How am I supposed to interpret that any other way? I will tell you something you need to keep your eyes on, something that I am concerned about for sure. What if we lose the House of Representatives? It's not outside of the realm of possibility that Trump wins and the GOP doesn't. Trump is consistently polling ahead of other GOPers who are running in various states, guys running for Senate, guys running for the House. It's not universal, but it's pretty consistent. Trump polls above them. So at least nationally, if you're going to believe the polling, Trump is more popular than the average run-of-the-mill Republican. What happens if Democrats have the House of Representatives? I don't know. Nothing good. But I can promise you this. Chris, go ahead and write this one down. If the Democrats take the House of Representatives and Donald Trump wins the presidency, he will be impeached probably in his first month in office. They will impeach him. They will. Doesn't mean he's going to be removed. Remember, that has to go through the Senate. He was already impeached before. He wasn't removed. He will be impeached again. And this is why I yelled and yelled and yelled, and now I've just let it go because I'm so sick of the low-T GOP. This is why I yelled about how important it was for the GOP to impeach Joe Biden immediately the second they took the House of Representatives. You didn't even need to have a reason to do it. You have to start doing it back to them. Otherwise, you give them no disincentive. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Democrats will now impeach Republican presidents every single time they have the House of Representatives. It's very clearly a tool they believe they can use. They're going to use it. It is an effective tool for them. Remember, it only helped them win elections, helped them in the midterms, helped them otherwise. Democrats are going to impeach every single Republican when they had the ability to do so. If they're going to do that, and Republicans are never going to turn around and do it back, then, well, it's over. Jesse, I'll be having a party on the September 7th. I'm turning 13. For more details, email me at, I'm not going to say his name. You can say this on the show. I would be honored. You can say my name. It is August. August, my brother, happy birthday. I am flattered you invited me to your birthday party. I cannot attend your birthday party. I have to go. I'll be out of town that day. I'm traveling that day. So I don't even know where you are. But I bet it's going to be a banging birthday party. Make sure you eat some pizza for me. Jesse, that brings me to my question. All right, you said you don't know a cow produces 400 pounds of meat, so on and so forth. My question is, how do you season and cook your steak? I'm a big fan of rubbing. What, Chris? What is wrong with you? I like to rub. I have learned the beauty of rubbing my meat. I have meat rubs. My son just got me one that's a chili molasses rub that I haven't had a chance. Oh, yeah, Chris, it's dynamite. Cajun rubs. Now, I don't necessarily rub my steak. I'll rub my brisket down before I smoke it, but I have rubbed my steak down. I tell you what I really enjoy doing, a barbecue rub. Kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It's not like a barbecue sauce. It's a dry rub you rub your steak with. But for the most part, when I eat steak, it's really just salt and pepper, maybe a little garlic butter on top of there. As good as it gets. I can feel my testosterone levels rising. Maybe it's the steak. Maybe it's just the chalk. I don't know. Once again, I take a male vitality stack every single day. And I know it calls for taking two of the Tomcat. Yeah, that's one of the, remember, there's three things in the male vitality stack, the chalk daily, the ashwagandha, and the Tomcat. I don't take just two of the Tomcat. I'll do three, four. I do up the dosage on that. And just let me tell you, you're going to feel so good. Natural herbal supplements. 20% boost in your T levels in just 90 days. Now think about a year from now. You'll be a completely different man a year from now. Ladies, you're not left out. They love ladies too. There's a female vitality stack giving you the energy, the focus you need. Start now and give it 90 days. Get a subscription though so you save money. And they're not going to give you a bunch of crap if you don't like it and you cancel it. They just cancel it right away. I want you to cancel it if it doesn't work. Wait till you see how good you're about to feel. Call them. Text them. 50-CHOQ-3000. That's 50-CHOQ-3000. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
In the aftermath of a transformative election like the one we just had, it's hard to read the news without asking yourself every 5 seconds, how did we get here? That's exactly what we're always trying to figure out on Fiasco, a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which came down to a recount in Florida and ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. In many ways, it's the beginning of the story we're living through right now. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore, and find out how a statistical tie in the Florida vote count put the nation into an unprecedented holding pattern, during which American voters waited with bated breath to find out whether Al Gore or George W. Bush would be the next president of the United States. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Of course, the wife gets mad at me when I play that song for the boys. But either way, joining me now, my friend, the founder of the 1776 Project PAC, the one that's taking back school boards across the country, Ryan Gerdusky. Hey, Ryan, why are women screwing up polling?
Well, it's not specifically women, but it's older, white, college-educated liberals that are screwing up polling. So I wrote an article for the American Conservative magazine. Back in July, last month, Joe Biden was obviously cratering everywhere. I mean, he was losing states like New Jersey and Virginia. But if you look, including the New York Times Sand Poll, Quinnipiac, NPR, Fox News, there was one group he was winning with huge numbers, white seniors. Seniors were in these polls showing a huge, huge number for him. And I said, well, how does that compare now? And guess what? Kamala is winning seniors. Now, this is a group that Trump won by 9 points in 2016 and 4 points in 2020. That would make you think, okay, he's not going to lose them now all of a sudden to Biden and Kamala, given the fact that a lot are on fixed incomes and the economy has been great and prices have been surging. But I looked back in 2020, so what did the polls say then about how Biden would perform? Quinnipiac had him over, had him winning voters over 65 by 15 points. CNN had him up by 11. The New York Times and Siena poll and Fox News polls had him up by 10. NPR had him up by 9. YouGov had him by 4. So I was like, what was it like in 2016? They, even though Clinton wasn't winning them in a lot of swing states, she was way overperforming. So exit polls said that Clinton lost seniors in North Carolina by 23 points. But Monmouth, such as a Sears pollster, said she was only going to lose by 11, and CNN said she was only going to lose by 5. This same thing happened to Clinton. Now, fast forward to today. The fact that seniors, old liberal seniors, are responding to polls so heavily is skewed the polls in the past and created the idea of a silent Trump voter. And I was like, is that happening right now? Because you're seeing these polls where Kamala has not a huge lead, but certainly a lead in a lot of swing states. So like the New York Times Siena poll, which is a very, very accurate pollster, in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, she is supposedly leading seniors by 10, and in Michigan with seniors by 20. She is vastly overperforming in most swing state polls among a demographic group that is very heavily sized. It's not like, you know, black voters or young voters, which have very small sample sizes because they don't vote in very high numbers as overall population. But I believe that is creating, for the third consecutive election in a row, third consecutive presidential election in a row, the idea of the silent Trump voter. The silent Trump voter is not completely silent. I mean, they love talking about Trump on Facebook and on social media. It's that they're not being represented in polling because old white liberals are being oversampled in this polling.
Okay. So explain that to me, Ryan, for people who don't understand it, because 99.9% of the people listening aren't involved in campaigns and politics and don't really understand that. how's that the case? Don't they call an equal number of Republicans and Democrats? Why? How could you have such an oversampling of one demographic? How does that happen?
So in most states, there is no voter registration. Like in the state of Texas, like in Virginia, you don't register by party. Michigan, Wisconsin, you don't register by party. You just register to vote. And they look based upon past primary elections. So they guess if you voted in a primary, then you're probably this particular party. But that's no guarantee, especially if you live in a state or a local community that is heavily Republican or heavily Democrat, because you'll say, okay, I'm going to vote in this party's primary because that will guarantee me that I'm going to vote for the person that I like the most of the parties that I dislike. Also, by the fact is that a lot of people self-identify as independents, even though they vote for the same party in every election. Even though they vote always Republican or always Democrat, they like to say, I'm a independent or I'm a moderate. Usually liberals really like to say they're moderates. And that is where the numbers are really shifting. So what they've tried to do is they've moved from having to hopefully find these voters to try to recalculate or reweigh how these voters are sampled. But it doesn't matter because the data is so lopsided. There was a Fairleigh Dixon University poll that just came out that went super viral. It had Kamala up by 7 nationwide. This poll had her winning seniors by 16 points, a demographic she's going to lose probably by 5 to 7 points. And when you're talking about sample sizes, the most frequent voters in this country are older white voters. So when they're so heavily on one side, it will throw a poll by anywhere to 3 to 5 points. And you're seeing that everywhere. The only two major polls in this country that had Trump doing where he probably will perform with seniors was the Pew Research poll, which is the largest poll in the country. It had 10,000 people answer it. And the nationwide New York Times Siena poll, which is a fairly accurate pollster as well. They both had Trump winning seniors between about 6 points. The Pew Salt poll said that she was winning nationwide, Kamala was winning nationwide by a single point. The New York Times said Trump was winning nationwide by a single point. So that's all within the margin of error. That all makes sense. It basically is saying that it could go for either candidate by probably 2 points either which way, maybe 3 points either which way. That does not give Kamala this victory that people are purporting through the media. They're sitting there and saying that she is, you know, she's way ahead in North Carolina and Georgia, and she's putting Florida back in play. There was even a poll out of the Houston University that had Texas within 5 points. So I dug deep into that poll, once again, looking for the flaw within the sample size, because Trump was winning independents and winning Hispanics. He did fairly well among young people, but it only had him winning whites by 19 points. And I said, well, what did he win by whites by by 15 points? I said, what did he have winning whites by in 2016? 2020 didn't have very good exit polls because of COVID, state exit polling. I said, what did he win in 2016 by with whites? 41 points. That is a 26-point error among the largest demographic group being questioned. And it's because Karens, who love to give their opinion to literally anyone with an ear distance, are the ones surprisingly saying, yes, I'll answer an 85-question poll, while a lot of Republicans are either A, refusing to, B, don't have the time, or C, think that maybe it's, you know, being monitored or swayed or whatever, so they don't answer them. And that is what I think is creating, what will create, the third straight presidential election of silent Trump voters.
Speaking with Ryan Gerdusky, founder of the 1776 Project PAC. Ryan, is Trump going to win this race? I guess more specifically, I want to ask this. What is Dome's path to victory? How can Kamala Harris win?
Because it sounds, took me a second.
It sounds crazy, but I don't understand how Dome can get there.
So I'm going to follow this. By the way, this article was in the American Conservative magazine. Everyone wants to read all the data. So there's two things that I sit there and play with in my head. One, I think if the election were held today, Donald Trump would win this election. I really, really, really do. And I did not believe he was going to win in 2020. And I did believe he was going to win in 2016. The way that I think she gets there is two ways. One, a vast mobilization of Gen Z, of young voters that have not voted yet. So they're not in a lot of the data. That happened to a great degree in 2022, where young people did vote in very, very large numbers. The second thing is, while everyone was, you know, not paying attention in the last 3 years, Joe Biden naturalized 3.3 million new citizens. They came here legally, they waited their term and all the rest of it. And, you know, people, a lot of Republicans say those are the kinds of people we want. That's true. I mean, we would prefer them to illegal immigrants, but they vote 70-30 Democrat overwhelmingly, especially depending on what region of the world they come from. If they're from Southeast Asia, they vote almost 90% Democrat. So that, I mean, the good thing is they probably live in fairly non-important states or states that don't really swing. But that is also a big potential. So I think the way that she is winning this is through either Gen Z or through new legalized immigrants. But I think among the demographics that she has right now, I don't think she's going to win. I have been very, very, you know, hawkish on this statement. I think the polls are really off because of this over persistent liberal Rachel Maddow viewing, you know, wine mom who donates to the Lincoln Project.
He is Ryan Gerdusky, founder of the 1776 Project PAC, one of the ones I tell you to give to. It's changing school boards, changing this country. Ryan, my brother, thank you as always. That was friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
All right. We have some emails I need to dig into. But first, we need to get you away from a very, very bad thing, a very bad company. That company is Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile. I'm sure you've seen a lot of news out there about the human rights campaign, DEI, ESG, all this dirty, filthy corporate communism. Go look up right now. Pick up that cell phone of yours and look up the name of your mobile provider and DEI and tell me what you find. Then look up Pure Talk. Tell me what you find. Switch to Pure Talk. Their CEO fought for this country. They hire Americans for customer service. Americans who speak English. No more talking to Deep Deep who doesn't understand anything you're saying. They're wonderful. You'll save a pile of money. You'll save a pile of money. Pick up your phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you even more than you were going to save. #250. Say Jesse Kelly.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. I'm pretty excited about this. What am I excited about? Here's a headline for you from Reuters. I used to call it Reuters. It's part of being uneducated as I say a lot of words wrong, but I don't care. U.S. judge tosses machine gun possession case and calls the ban unconstitutional. Yes, baby! I cannot tell you how long I have wanted a belt-fed machine gun without having to go through all the hoops of the whole thing. I am a little bit, I hate to sound like Chris here, I'm a little bit concerned about the ammo prices if I was to get a hold of a machine gun. What, Chris, what? Loading the belts, Chris said loading the belts got to suck. Chris, I have sons, okay? You don't have to do this menial, brutal, mindless labor anymore once you have sons. That's why you have sons, to work them like slaves. Like last night when I got home, it was super hot. I was roasting here, and it would start look like it was getting ready to rain. So it was rain and brutally hot last night, and I knew I had to get the trash cans out. So I certainly wasn't going to go back outside. There was a chance I would start sweating or something like that, and I'd just gotten home from work. So I said, boys, garbage! And they have no choice. No, Chris, you're not understanding. They don't have any choice because I'm in charge, and you need to abuse that power whenever you get the chance. And, I forgot to tell you. So Fred might be in a little bit of trouble. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a visit from the cops. You know, we have this big, fluffy, idiot dog named Fred. And everybody loves Fred. Everybody. But Fred, he is loud. He's very, very loud. It sounds like he's going to bite your head off when he's barking. And he's all about that. He does not like people coming to the door and things like that. So as we're out in the garage, me and the boys were screwing off, we're doing some stuff. This wasn't last night, it was a couple days ago. And this Asian lady's walking up the sidewalk. And I said she's Asian because, well, she was Asian and she's small. She's freaking small. She's just a tiny human being. You know, Asians are small people. She's, well, are we allowed to say that, Chris, on the air? I'm sure it's fine. Whatever. I know it is a fact. Anyway, she's walking up this little tiny Asian. She's walking up the sidewalk and Fred sees her. And Fred starts barking loudly. He sounds like he's getting ready to bite your head off. And then it was my fault. We'd never let him out, you know, without a leash and stuff like that. But we were just screwing off for a couple minutes in the garage, so I didn't have a handle on him. He takes off after her. Now, it was a woman. He would never harm a woman, but she didn't know that. All she knows is this gigantic 75-pound beast is loudly barking at her and chasing her. She turtles up as he's getting there, and I had to run and grab him and let her know, I swear he's not going to eat you, but although he may have eaten her. So we may be getting a visit from the cops anyway. But look, we still give him rough greens. We give him rough greens because I love that dog. I'm ashamed at how much I love that idiot dog. He's just the best. Everyone loves him. The boys love him. He's just the best. And he doesn't get nutrition from dog food. Your dog doesn't get any nutrition from dog food. I think that's crazy, but that's the kind of country we live in now. It's all brown because it's all dead. Rough greens, it's the all-natural nutritional supplement. Vitamins, minerals, probiotics, antioxidants. Again, it's natural too. You pour it on the dog's food, you will see differences in your dog. Fred used to have digestive problems after every meal. Never. Doesn't have any anymore. Go get a free bag. Free Jumpstart trial bag at 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. Jesse, I think we need to charge the decision makers at the FBI with election interference regarding the Hunter Biden laptop investigation. The FBI should be completely disbanded for that. That is such a shocking abuse of power by the state police agency. There should be no more FBI, period. At the very least, people have to go to prison. FBI agents have to go to prison for what happened with Hunter Biden's laptop. They took possession of it. They knew what was on it. They knew it was real. They buried the investigation because he's Joe Biden's son. And then when they found out the contents of the laptop were about to be released to the New York Post, they went to the social media companies and told them to censor it and told them it was Russian disinformation. They electioneered on behalf of Joe Biden. That's cheating. That's election cheating. That's election interference. And it's not by some random Democrat on the street corner. The Federal Bureau of Investigation got involved in the election to cost Donald Trump the election and give it to Joe Biden. There should be no more FBI on that story alone. I don't need a single other story. Nothing else would matter. You should be quivering with fear if you are in the FBI right now, waiting for your turn to be arrested and sent to prison. Everybody involved with that doesn't need to be fired. They need to be arrested and sent to prison. And you know what's bonkers to me? Bonkers. Not a single Republican, not one, unless I'm mistaken, not one national Republican in the House, in the Senate, running for president, not one has called for the arrest and imprisonment of FBI agents. You cannot save this country unless government people start going to prison. I cannot believe that everyone is so dismissive about this. And I could point to a million other things that are happening at the FBI that would warrant that. But that in and of itself, everybody who sniffed that case, everyone who was even slightly involved in telling social media companies to censor a story that made Democrats look bad, everyone should be in federal prison as we speak. Instead, they're still rounding up January 6 memes and slapping ankle bracelets on them and sending them to federal prison. I can't believe nobody is talking about arresting FBI agents. That must happen. This is turned into a criminal government. a criminal organization like the FBI runs protection for the criminal government, and we cannot go on like this. And what I'm saying is not at all radical. I'm trying to save the country. You have to do this or you can't save the country, period. All right, we'll make fun of Disney. We'll do some more emails. Also, don't forget, email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hang on.
It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate, ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.